Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and I'll read from verse 12 to the end of the chapter. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceive also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, that this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? As a fool. Therefore I hate life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what hath man of all his labor and the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh nought rest in the night. This is also vanity. There is nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. Loving Father, I pray that you would encourage us this day, even though we recognize in this world there is much vanity and much emptiness, that our hearts may be given to God, and that our wisdom may come from God, and that the blessings we receive then shall be of the Lord. Father, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as we look at the words of Solomon, perhaps we recognize of the kind of the darkness that is there in his view of things. As we might say, his world view was somewhat distorted, even though he had great wisdom and great knowledge and wrote on many subjects, and is believed to have had written the book of Proverbs, the book of Songs of Solomon, and the book of Ecclesiastes. Yet I think I heard one preacher this week say in a message that as much as Solomon did have great wisdom and great riches, we do not find him written in Hebrews chapter 11, which is somewhat telling that he is not listed as one of the heroes of faith. Which is somewhat of a shocker, I think, maybe, when we realize that Solomon was supposed to be endued with great wisdom and great knowledge. So he writes in the book of Proverbs, he writes here, of course, he writes in the book of Songs of Solomon, more or less a love story analogy, which some believe even portrays at least a picture perhaps of Christ and the church. And we find that though he had much wisdom, yet he dwelt on things on the earth as he saw them under the sun. And only we get glimpses once in a while where he does say things which are significantly turned toward God, yet we find that much of what he has to say is about what happens here. And we would have to be honest probably and say, yes, there is much of what happens here which is not good, that is upon the earth. Sometimes it seems like there is an inequity of things. Sometimes there is a lack of justice or judgment in things. It seems like a sense of fairness is not exactly too well visible in this life. And though a person is wise and understanding in many things, he might achieve great things, but yet in the end he dies, just as Solomon says, the fool dies at the end. And so, in other words, we must have something else in view if we are to bring some sense of continuity and balance to the Word of God. And so he begins by saying that wisdom is better than folly, but both have an end. So as we begin in verse 12, and I turn myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly, for what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? Well, certainly as the king, he had every resource at his fingertips, you might say. And he could do whatever he wished he wanted to do. And certainly he could exercise the wisdom of a man who had these resources and also the sense that he could accomplish great things. But yet he wasn't happy. And we get that sense also in what he has said already in the beginning of the chapter here, that pleasure and riches do not ultimately satisfy. And then neither then does wisdom and folly satisfy. But in the end result is that if one carries through with those things and ends up at the end of life, without God, they are full of emptiness. In verse 13, then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness. He does extol wisdom. Well, as we think about wisdom in the world today, we know many people get higher education, many people are well educated. We might even say, you know, that you could earn a great deal of advancement in life by becoming more or better educated, and through that education you might be able to achieve greater things and to do more things, etc. But what is the wisdom that really matters but the wisdom that is of God? Now, if we have the wisdom of God on our side, then we can do things that will have some lasting effect. And we will not have that bitter taste at the end of life, like, why did I bother to extend myself or to exert all this effort when this is all there is? Because the true wisdom of God gives a true sense of accomplishment and fulfillment. The true wisdom of God causes a person to be content in the thing that he or she does. And I think that that is an important point to make. Since he is looking at wisdom from the standpoint of the wisdom of the world and of what can be accomplished, that produces the emptiness that he's talking about. But the wisdom which is of God should produce something altogether different. It should produce a sense of accomplishment and a sense of joy and a sense of glorifying God, a sense that the things that we do matter, because when we do them, we don't do them for the sake of doing them. We do them with the one purpose in mind of serving the Lord and glorifying the Lord with our lives. And so the work that you do at home becomes a testimony of Christ in your life. The work that you do at the place of employment becomes a means of testimony of your job ethic and of your Christian principle and moral. And the same can be said on any other particular level that you may be working or serving. Those things can be done to the glory of God and should be done to the glory of God. And so to kind of put Solomon in a proper perspective, he seems to be experimenting simply on that horizontal plane of under the sun. And so he comes up with these conclusions, well, that one is not much, so much better than the other. In verse 14, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Both end up in the same place at the end of life. The wise man, he has wisdom in the things he sees and the things he does and the things he thinks. The fool, he walketh in the darkness of this world, not understanding the things he sees and the things he does, etc. But they both end up in the same place. And so looking at life from that advantage of the vanity of life, Solomon finds a great deal of emptiness in both of those things. In verse 15, then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, that this also is vanity. And for whatever purpose, Solomon could not see, perhaps, the divine perspective that he should have been able to see. He doesn't seem to be coming through in what he is saying. That the divine perspective is there. He seems to be just dwelling on this area of experience, and that they both end up in the same place at the end. In verse 16, for there is no remembrance of the wise more than the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man as the fool? Therefore I hated life, because the work that I wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. And so he paints a very different picture than what we see from the Christian viewpoint. He paints a picture of one that is almost desperate at the end of life, or in a sense of despair. And he paints a picture that examines these various kinds of experiences. And at the end, he doesn't see a lot of advantage. Which leads me to believe that perhaps Solomon was not all that spiritual. That he was not, even though he possessed great knowledge, and as a king, yet he made very poor spiritual decisions, especially when it came to his own kingdom and his own household, that he allowed so many foreign women to come in. And that he, even the sense here that he experimented in all of these various things which he allowed himself to experience, only reveals that he was searching for something more than he was able to obtain. It's kind of like looking through a foggy atmosphere. There isn't much that you can see there because there is so much fog. And I think even in the world today, you know, if we focus on what the world is doing, if we focus on the wisdom of the world too much, if we focus on various things that are happening in the world, even politics, and we can very easily create an atmosphere, a kind of foggy atmosphere, where you say, well, what does anybody do in this mess? It's very easy if you focus on the what's going on in the world too much to become kind of lost in the morass of the confusion or the chaos of life. A lot of people are trying to find different escapes in this foggy mess of life. And I think Solomon, you know, was delving into that to a great extent. One of the things that recently came out, and maybe you have seen some of the news articles on it, is that younger people today in colleges are overdosing on Adderall. And I guess Adderall is supposed to be taken only in certain cases where there is attention deficit disorder type thing. Is that correct? It's called the smart drug, is what it's called by the college students, because it's supposed to give you a keener mind to think through problems in work, such as, of course, college students at what they're trying to get A's, they're trying to achieve, that they want that better education so they can get the better paying job, so they can, you know, advance themselves more and more. And they had a segment of these kids in college that are taking Adderall, overdosing with this stuff. And what it doesn't kill you, but what it does is it causes psychological problems. Within the medical field, they simply term it as some kind of psychiatric event where you're just not thinking clearly anymore. It has the reverse effect if you overdose with it. It's kind of like somebody we might say, well, he's too smart for his own britches. You know, you just can't, something that ought to be common sense, it becomes confusing to him. Something that ought to be clearly set in your mind to do right or wrong, or to know something, they become more of mentally ill about it. This Adderall is causing a lot of problems, when they began to interview some of these college students, they said, well, how many of these college students are on this? Just everybody's on it. Everybody's taking it. Well, would you continue to take it if something like this happened to you? Would you continue to take it if you had a psychiatric event where you were somehow kind of spazzed out and couldn't think anymore? Would you continue? Well, if I had to, I would continue to take it, was the response. Well, wisdom can become madness. Madness can become folly. And folly and wisdom and madness, for the sake of them, are vanity. You see? That's just an example that I've seen more lately among these college students. Of course, we know that there's a number of people that have taken drugs specifically because they wanted the hallucinogenic experience, thinking it was going to broaden their thinking or enhance their thinking or something of that nature, especially back in the flower period of the 60s, you know, where everybody was kind of experimenting on something. They wanted these mind-blowing experiences, and et cetera. Somebody's always trying to get ahead of the curve, you might say. And more people are trying to do that, it seems, in this world today. Well, look at knowledge as far as the computer systems are concerned, and what goes into the knowledge bank of life, which seems to be growing exponentially. How often this is doubling and tripling seems to be getting more advanced all the time. And I may have told you this before, but in Alexandria, Egypt, where there used to be the great ancient library, now there is a great computer library where they collect all the data from the world on a continual basis and store in that big computer bank in Alexandria, Egypt. Because what does the world want to do? It wants to store more knowledge, more wisdom, more knowledge, more wisdom. Man thinks his salvation is in knowledge and wisdom of his own making under the sun, when it will probably lead to his destruction more than anything. Because, man has, in his own wisdom, decided to make assisted suicide on demand available to all the inhabitants of the Dutch Netherlands. This has just recently come out. It was on the Worldview with Al Mohler, who has a new segment, if not every day, every week, he has a new segment. And the Dutch Netherlands has just crafted a law saying that anybody can get assisted suicide for any reason, whether you're a child or whether you happen to be a terminally ill person. They have just crafted the law, and it is expected to go into effect. Now this is quite amazing when you stop and think about it, that man has come from the place of saying, not just saying that man is has control of his life. Now he's saying man can take control of his life to the point where he can end his life anytime he wants to. Wisdom, man's wisdom. You see, man is having a psychiatric event in the area of wisdom, and it's really amazing to hear some of these things. In fact, because we hear so much of this stuff which shocks us, it's lost its shock factor. It seems to have lost its shock factor. I mean, what else can be said any more devastating, any more bizarre, and that anybody can commit assisted suicide anytime you want to for any reason? You know, this is it's just amazing that we keep hearing these things. You say, oh, well, it shocked me when I heard that the Islamic terrorists line up people and literally cut their heads off in front of people. Or it shocked me when I heard that they burn people alive in cages. Or it shocked me when I heard that they go in and take a whole bunch of school kids and they take them off to a harem and they make them sex slaves. Well, what is it? What is left to shock anybody? It may interest you also to note that Abercrombie and Finch no longer are going to use exploitive sexual images to sell their clothing. They said people are too used to it. Sex has lost its appeal. Which only goes to show that once something loses its shock factor, it also has lost its particular appeal to people. And we see that the world is kind of like the world is almost imploding upon some of these issues that we're talking about. Solomon came to the conclusion that wisdom leads to madness, madness leads to folly, folly leads to emptiness. It all is empty in the end. Sounds like a very desperate man. Without God, life becomes much more desperate. And we find that people are reacting to that. Verse 18, yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun. Why would a king who has so much to offer hate the labor which he had done? And he was the richest man in the world. Because I should leave it unto the man that shall come after me. Well, there again, in that statement itself, it sounds like a man who was very selfish, self-centered, and egotistical about his own life. Because what would your attitude be as a Christian As a Christian, wouldn't you say that, well, what I have now I'll use to the glory of God, and if I want when I leave it, I won't need it, so I'm not going to worry about what happens to it. It's just, it's just things after all. So what if somebody else gets it and uses it foolishly? That's not on you. As long as you have used what you have to the glory of God while you are here, that's all you should care about. But Solomon, a selfish person, a self-centered person, an egotistical person, a person full of ambition who has not really a very good Christian worldview, we would say, might think altogether different. It seems to be what Solomon is doing. Verse 19, "And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair." So he despairs of all the labor which I took under the sun. See, again, see, here is a person who is amassed, who has labored, who has worked, who has been ambitious, who has given himself to great knowledge and great wisdom and great riches and great pleasure and all of the pursuits that he wanted to pursue, and it did not bring happiness, it brought despair. Because his heart was not in the right place with God. Because that person who has little can really be just as happy as that person who has much. Godliness with contentment is great gain, you see. And we can be. We can be happy with little. And we can be content with little. And we can glorify God with the little that we have, which we should. And we shouldn't set in despair over having little or having much. Though many people who end up having much, as in these people who win the lotteries and so forth and so on, you hear many stories about them and how that they become very desperate people in the end. In verse 21, "For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity, yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what hath man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all the days are sorrow and his travail grief, yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity." And so if a person is in despair, verse 20 indicates that Solomon fell into despair over these things, then life is a travail. Life is full of sorrows. Life is full of grief. Life has little joy in it. And you cannot see any good but evil in it. There are many people, I think, who are doing that. In verse 24, he gives some sense of a glimmer of light. "There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God." Well, it is true that God has given that blessing to man if man will pursue it. Though we do work by the sweat of our brow, we are given the opportunity to labor and to work and to pursue the earthly benefits which we are able to obtain. There's no reason not eating when we have the ability to work. There's no reason not to have some joy in life if we can put food on our own table. You know, that is true. I mean, the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. We all are given the same common grace. Common grace is dispensed freely to all men. The grace of God to work, the grace of God to enjoy your family, the grace of God to experience the joys of life with your children and with your wife and with the things that you have, and that you can account them to the glory of God. And if you do so, then you have a better view of life. Verse 25, "For who can eat or who else can hasten thereunto or hereunto more than I?" After all, he was the king. He says, I may as well enjoy these things. In verse 26, For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. And so God did give Solomon wisdom and knowledge and joy within the framework that he blesses and under that realm of common grace, and in his case even much more so because of the special grace of God unto him. But to the sinner he giveth travail, to gather and to heap up, that he may give him to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. Well, we have to look to God for those things that really amount to blessing. Because in this life, there is too many other things that can steal away that blessing. The pursuit of the college student who wants to overdose on Adderall to get better grades will find in the end that he will not only be unable to enjoy the benefits of his labor, but he may be physically affected the rest of his life. And of course there are many people in the pursuit of wisdom today thinking that they will achieve great things. But if God is not in it, they will not achieve it. And it will be a vanity unto them. And so we are better off seeking the wisdom of God and the contentment of God. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you that contentment and godliness go together, and that the wisdom of God is that which we should pursue, and the joy which we pursue should be that which is through the wisdom of God and faith in him. Father, we pray you would bless your word to our hearts and help us to see these things, that we might not be confused with what is going on in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.